heads of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Ooh, the sun sets free. Oh, it's free. Ransom me, oh, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Sun sets free, oh, it's free. Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken.
I am who you say I am.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Father's house, there's a place for me.
I'm a child of God.
Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Come on.
I'm a child.
I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. In my Father's house, there's a
place for me. I'm a child of God.
Yes, I am. took the weight of sin upon your shoulders. You sacrificed your life so I could live. Now nothing is holding me back from you, Redeemer. Oh,
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm
you, Lord. Overwhelmed by his presence. Do you feel that this morning? Do you feel that this morning? We get to worship the Lord. We get to love him back. We get. You know, we don't have to. We get to. There's a difference there. We get to serve our Father, the one who gave us Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, to give us eternal life, to bring us healings, to change our lives. And I love the comment. I love the comment that Tyler said Wednesday night. To break off those chains and bring us a relief. To break off those chains and bring us that relief. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing today, right in these pews, right now. We worship you. We bring you praise. And we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we're excited that we get to be the light in this region for this time. Father, we thank you that you're using people from the Carpenter Shop Church International and those that are even on our live stream. Lord, you're using us to reach other people. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're changing us daily. And that even when we mess up, you love us unconditionally. And Lord, you forgive us and you bring us back into that journey where we need to be. Thank you, Lord, that we get to serve you. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be the light to our area, to our families, to our coworkers, to those that we come in contact in Walmart or in Food Lion. Thank you, Father. Lord, use us mightily as we serve you, as we walk in your ways. Continue, Lord, to change us to be more like you. We give you praise, Father, and Lord, the changes that are taking place even now. Those people, Lord, that are struggling with health issues, those people, Father, that are struggling with finances, Lord, those that are depressed and discouraged, Lord, today we pray over these people, Lord, that you will bring change, that you will bring those healings, Lord, of our emotions, Lord, of our physical bodies, of our minds, Lord. And Lord, we hold on to you knowing that the full armor of God is what we need to wear in this time. Thank you, Father, for equipping us. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we just welcome you to the Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you came today, and we're so glad that you're just worshiping the way you are today. It's so good to be in the presence of other believers. And at this time, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. So our tithes and offerings. There's buckets here at the front. There's also buckets in the back for your convenience. At this time, if you would like to worship the Lord in giving your tithes and offerings. And those that are on live stream, of course, there's ways that you can give by PushPay or through the church app.
Praise the Lord. Hey, you guys, yeah, just hang right where you are. There's a Holy Ghost in this place today. Amen? Come on. There's a Holy Ghost in this place. How many of y'all heard that song, I Just Need a Holy Ghost? Come on. Amen. I just need to be in his presence with God's people. I'm just wondering why y'all so quiet today. Come on now. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. Come on. Ahoskey, North Carolina. Amen. Welcome to the Catholic Church today. Come on. You guys are quiet. Come on. You guys are quiet. Come on. We should hear the lion roar this morning. Come on. There's time to be a lamb, but then there's time to be a lion too. Amen. Row. Come on. Somebody just love Jesus for a moment right where you are. Stand up and just love him. Come on. Just stand up and love him right there where you are. Thank him for his goodness. Come on. Thank him for his mercy that endures forever. Thank him for his truth that just goes to all generations. Come on. Oh, Rabasata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your mercy endures forever. That's right. Lift up a shout unto God, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on. You're on the winning side today. Come on. You're on the winning team today. Thank you, Lord. Come on, hey, come on up here and sing that song again. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, your presence, Lord. Come on, guys. Come on, sing that song one more time. Come on, God's not done today. He's not finished. Come on. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're welcome here. Oh, you're welcome to heal my body today. Come on. Come on. You're welcome to heal my body. Do you need a healing? Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up if you need a healing today. Come on. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I love what Pastor Joy just prayed a moment ago and said, we are overwhelmed by his presence. How many times have you just been overwhelmed by his goodness? Come on, Robert, stand up, my friend. Stand up. Listen, stretch your hand out to this guy right here. He needs a touch in his body. Come on, Pastor Mike, come over here, man. He needs a touch in his body this morning. Come on, Dr. Jesus is in the house today. Come on, Dr. Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're still the God of healing. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So right now, we release your healing power upon his body. Lord, that he would feel it flow through him from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, and everything would come in alignment. We curse this is upon his body, and we release him into your healing. We give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen.
In the strong name of Jesus of Nazareth, we believe you, God, for divine healing, Lord. Lord, we know there's a procedure that is ahead of her, God, but we thank you that there's a God who loves her, who's touched with the feelings of her infirmities. In the name of Jesus right now, God, we're trusting you, God, for healing, 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 healing. Come on, church, healing, healing, healing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Overwhelm us, God. Overwhelm us, God. Come on. Overwhelm us, God. To minister health and healing and wholeness in his body right now. Father, we submit ourselves to you, God, trusting you do all things well. And Lord, we bless him today in Jesus' name. Ephesians 3:20. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. I speak peace over the Griggs family today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless these kids. Bless this family. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you're the God of more than enough. You're El Shaddai. That's your name. Come on, somebody call him El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless my brother right now. Lord, I thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, I thank you for this season where he's reflected and thought about you and your goodness and your mercy. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to accelerate in your kindness toward this couple. In Jesus' name, I received that today from the Holy Spirit. The Lord says he's getting ready to accelerate things in your life. I don't know what that means. Maybe you do. He's getting ready to put his foot on the gas. He's getting ready to propel forward. He's getting ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that you shall not have room enough to contain it, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just wish somebody would worship God just a moment. Come on. Throw your hands up in the air and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Ramasata. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let us become more aware of your glory, more aware of your power, more aware of your dominion, more aware of your presence, more aware of your abilities, God. More aware, more aware. We don't want to go to a dead church. We want a church that's alive with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come on, worship him. Well, you ought to high five somebody before you sit down. Come on. Turn to somebody and say, God is good. Come on, somebody say, pardon my 6 feet, but I love Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody said the other day, please don't social distance the Holy Ghost. Come on. Don't wear a mask on the Holy Ghost. Come on. Hallelujah. I just believe that 2020 has been a tough year, but I'm thanking God for 2021. Come on. I believe in 2021, we're going to see the sun. Come on. We're going to see the sun rise with healing in his wings and do incredible things. Please do your duties this week if you haven't already and vote. Please vote according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. And let's pray for America. Come on. Let's pray for America. It's not too late. Amen. It's not too late. And I tell you, I've read the back of the book, and guess what? The old timers were right. We win. Come on. We win. We win. Well, praise the Lord. I'm ready to preach this morning. Anybody ready for a word from the Lord today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, thank you, worship team. You guys are always incredible to work with. And sometimes the Lord just throws a little extra juice in the cup. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray for our church. Pastor Bernie's preaching away today. Pastor Bernie and Miss Doris are preaching in one of our churches in Englehart. Pastor Mike and Miss Bonnie will be away for 2 weeks in a row. They're going to be preaching in one of our churches down in Hertford area, almost to Elizabeth City, Faith Assembly of God, for the next 2 Sundays. And where's Andy? Andy, he's in the foyer right now. He's leading worship tonight for Pastor Randy and Mitzi, who came out of this church. Come on, did you know something? God has done incredible things in this little house. Amen. And people have gone out, and people still go out. Amen. On a regular basis, thank God for these guys that are always willing to preach and preach away. And And we just thank God for those opportunities. I just believe for incredible things for Pastor Bernie today down in Englehart. I believe for a powerful move of the Holy Spirit the next two Sundays in Hertford. And that's a great congregation, Pastor Mike. They love the presence of God. It's not uncommon, the way the Holy Spirit has moved this morning, it's not uncommon for that to happen in that church on a regular basis. Praise God. Pastor Joy and I came out of that church. Amen. That was where we got married. Amen. July the 12th, 1981. Amen. Long time ago, but God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do a little preach teach this morning. I'm going to calm down a little bit, okay? And I just thank God for the word today. I'm just thanking God for the series that he's placed on my heart for this next few weeks. I have a great guest coming in 2 weeks from now. His name is Adonis Lindsay. You can Google him if you want to. A-D-O-N-I-S. Go ahead and do it right now. I know you're playing with your phones anyway. A-D-O-N-I-S-L-E-N-Z-Y. Adonis Lindsay. You'll pull up a very nice-looking young man who has an incredible voice to the earth today. He's a young African-American man who just, I mean, I'm telling you, he's fire. He's fire. And he preaches a tremendous word of inspiration and encouragement to all believers. And we're just excited about him coming. Adonis Lindsay. His wife can't be here with him, but he's flying in alone. And we're just receiving him by faith and just excited about what God's going to deposit in this congregation through him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I just feel like I've had a lollipop and a bag of popcorn this morning. God is good, isn't he? Come on. He's good. We're going to talk. Yes, we're going to talk here for the next few times that I preach or whoever preaches for me. We're going to stay on track with enjoying life. Amen. How many of y'all just know life is tough? Come on. Just know life has been tough in 2020, hasn't it? But God's doing a new thing. Come on, somebody say God is doing a new thing. And God wants you to enjoy the people in your life. I told Pastor Joy on the way to church, we got interrupted this morning. We didn't even go to bed till about 2:30, 2:45 this morning. And we had an interruption through ministry that, hey, but guess what? If you look in the Bible and see where Jesus had interruptions, come on. Sometimes when you read the Gospels, look at every time that he was going on his way somewhere and something deflected where he was going. Something happened along the way. So you got to be open to change. You got to be open to interruptions. Don't get mad about it. Get glad about it because God is doing something unusual. Pastor Joy and I were stretched to the max yesterday at about a 15, 16-hour nonstop run of dealing with ministry things. And is Saturday supposed to be our day off? But guess what? We didn't get a day off yesterday. So you say, well, how in the world can you have such energy this morning if you didn't go to bed till 2:30? Holy Ghost, come on. Holy Ghost, folk praying for us, believing God, and we just thank God for that. We just thank God for his power and his touch. Amen. Do I see the princes there? Would you guys stand, please? We need to pray for her dad. Thank you, Diane. Let's pray for her dad. I don't want to miss this. Somebody just lay hands on Diana right there close to her. Diane Prince. Father, right now, in the strong name of Jesus, I thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you, Lord, that even some may say, well, there's another interruption. He was talking about one thing. Yes, the Holy Ghost interrupted me. And so I just speak peace over your dad, Diane. I speak peace. He's been through tremendous ordeal in the last couple of years of his life. Almost gone one time. Many times. But I speak peace over him. And Lord, I thank you for relationship that he has with you, his heart and your heart together on the same page. And Lord, I pray that you would just manifest your will. Somebody say your will in his life. And let your will be peace to Diane and Ricky. In Jesus' strong name. Father, he's yours. He's yours. Do as you would have with him. And Lord, when that time comes, we thank you that Paul told us to be absent from this body is to be with you. And so we thank you that there's peace in serving Jesus. We speak health and healing over him, God, and whatever that means, we're comfortable with that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you too. Strengthen her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, where was I at when I parked my car? Amen. Help me, honey. What was I talking about? All right. Enjoying the people in your life. Thank you guys for keeping me on track. I'm half brain dead this morning, so amen. Praise God. Well, enjoying the people in your life. I think it's God's will that we enjoy people. Don't wait. You know, Pastor Joy and I were talking, I guess as a precursor to this message, I want to share this little story. We were talking going down the road yesterday, I think it was, and I said, this makes me think of Papa. I know what we did. We pulled into a Chick-fil-A, and I got my favorite meal, number one, okay? Number one's a sandwich and waffle fries. Come on. Y'all know what that is? But we change the beverages when we go through there. We said, could we have a cup of water? That's free, okay? We said, could we have a cup of water? And I want one of them large diet frosted lemonades. That's a jacked up milkshake on steroids that's not supposed to be bad for you, all right? So, and we just got one of those. And I said, you know what this makes me think of? As I was chewing my Chick-fil-A sandwich with that pickle on the bun and a little mayo. Y'all gonna get to eat afterwards. Don't get upset. I said, this makes me think of Papa. How we used to go visit him when he was in that facility. And we would take him also a diet or a healthier one of those jacked up milkshakes. Frosted lemonade. And we'd take him a sandwich. And I said, it makes me think of him because when I'd go off with him and take him to the doctor sometime in Norfolk, I'd say, Papa, you want to stop and grab something? He'd say, yeah, that's fine. And we rotated times. Sometimes Pastor Joy took him. Sometimes her sister took him. Sometimes her brother took him. But we'd always make sure that when we hit Norfolk, we grabbed something to eat. And he was a class act when it came to ordering off of a menu. All he would do is I'd say, yeah, let me get a number one combo here. Let me have an extra sandwich. How many of y'all can eat two of them boogers? Come on. Let me have a number one combo, extra sandwich, please. I'd say, Papa, what you want? I'll take the same thing. So whatever you ordered, you were going to get a double blessing because you were going to order it two times. And that's the way he handled every menu. I said yesterday as I was eating my Chick-fil-A sandwich, I miss Papa. Makes me think of him. Don't you think of him a lot, Zach? Don't wait until they're gone to think of them. Here we go. Don't wait until they're gone to start enjoying them. Man, the Holy Ghost is gone. I wish this place was packed today. I started naming people on the way to work. I said, man, I wish he was here today. I wish he was here today. Why? Because I know some people who don't enjoy the people in your life. Don't wait till they're gone to reflect on what you liked about them. Come on, let this settle in. Don't wait till they're gone. And I'm speaking to people today, not just in this building, but I'm speaking to people that are online watching all over the place. Matter of fact, this service is going to 182 nations of the world today. Come on. By God's provision. All I do is just forward the YouTube video to King Television, and tomorrow they'll watch it tomorrow evening. So they'll hear, the world will hear what we have to say. That's why it's important to do our very best. Worship team, you did an incredible job. Preaching, whoever's preaching, do the very best you can because the world is listening to you right from this little place. And I wish so-and-so was here because I know people in my family who need to hear this message today. Because there are folks who are in the church today. They go through the semantics of Christianity, going to church, you know, you go into services, giving money to the church, loving the pastor, whatever. They go through all of the semantics of what church life is like. But then you start examining their relationships, and they're out of whack. They're out of whack. There's some hurt there. How many of you know hurt people hurt people? I said hurt people hurt people. And there are people who have hard feelings toward folk in their family. I remember one time I was shopping with my grandmother, bless her soul. And we were in a store in Edenton called TG&Y. It's been a long time ago. They're not in business anymore. And we were shopping, and I always love to go shopping with grandma or grandpa or whatever, because you get stuff. Come on. You get stuff. What you want? I don't know. And you shop and shop and shop until you find what you want, and then they pay for it. That's what I'm experiencing now with my grandkids, you know. They get a blank check, you know. Pastor Joy fills it in, okay? She buys the stuff for them. So I was shopping with my grandmother, and she jerked me by the nape of the neck, just about, by the shirt collar, and said, "Come on, let's go." And I said, "Why are we leaving? We just got here, and I ain't got my toy yet. Come on." She said, "We're going." I said, "Why are we going? We just got here, Grandma." And she said, and she called the name of one of my family members. She said, "Because she's in here and I ain't shopping in the same store she is. She didn't come to your grandfather's funeral when he passed away." Y'all let that sink in for just a second. Because there's some of you sitting here that act the same way. There's some of you sitting here that have embittered feelings toward other family members, not because of always what they did, but sometimes what they didn't do. And they didn't meet your expectation. I'm talking about today enjoying the people in your life. Please don't let them die before you start to draw up memories from the past to try to say something good about them. Amen? And I got family members right now. I hope some of y'all are listening. I got family members right now that need to hear what the Holy Ghost is going to say to this church today. Because they don't have all the relationships in order. I'm talking about the Phillips family. You guys, if you're watching me, I'm talking about us. Anybody seen the television series, This Is Us? Okay. I'm talking about the Phillips family. Not just my family, but your family too. There's issues. There's some T's that need to be crossed and some I's that need to be dotted. Come on, Jesus. We need to get it right. We need to get it right. Some of y'all are angry with folks in the church that you used to go to, and then you come here and bring your anger with you. Some of y'all bring your memories of someone else into a relationship, and you're not having a good relationship right now because you ain't dealt with the last one. Wow, y'all are quiet on that one. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't get it cleaned up, you take it to the next relationship. We call it baggage. Amen. We call it baggage. So we're talking about enjoying the people in your life. First message. We've got several messages, probably 7 or 8 carved out for this series. And we're in the book of Philippians. Philippians is a personal book. I always love to read Philippians because I love the way Paul takes his pen and writes to me. He was a personal book. And the reason I say that is because in the study of Philippians, if you go hash this book out for yourself, you'll discover that Paul uses a lot of personal pronouns. What are personal pronouns? I, you, okay? I, you. And Paul makes this such a personal letter to the Philippians. And it's ended up in the Bible because we need to hear the same things. It tells us the most about Paul. It's a practical letter. It deals with a lot of problems that we all face, a lot of examples day to day, decisions to make, scenarios to walk through. But Philippians is a positive book. It's not one of those books that points the finger at you and says, "Shame on you." It's a book that just talks about joy. That's the theme. If you were to ask me the question, "Pastor, what's the book of Philippians about?" Theologically, that's the subheading of this book is about joy. Amen? Amen? Joy. It's about the joy of the Lord. It's about the joy on the journey. I'm calling this series Enjoying Life because it deals with how to be joyful in spite of circumstances, in spite of problems. In the first chapter, Paul starts right out talking about people. And if relationships are bad, life becomes challenging. life becomes challenging. If relationships are strained, life becomes difficult. If you have problems with people, it kills the joy in your life. This morning I want to look at enjoying life with people. Amen? Peter Drucker, the father of American management, said this. Peter Drucker said that the number one characteristic of a CEO, that's a chief executive officer, the number one characteristic of a CEO, of a leader, is that they just enjoy people. My wife says to me sometimes, she said, honey, you do a good job because you like people, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. I like people. She said, you thrive better when you're around people and under pressure with people. You seem to handle that well. As a pastor, so many times you have to deal with conflict management, anger management, those kinds of things. I remember a pastor who served with me, won't call his name, several years ago. And one day, someone was in my office and he was with me. It was a female, so I wasn't sitting there alone. And he was with me listening to the complaint, and she was just blasting me. She was just blasting me, man. I mean, we had the barrel of the gun in my face, just pow, 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 just blasting me on something that I should have done better or I didn't do this right or whatever. And I told him, when we counsel like that, I'm not looking for you to help me, okay? I just want you to be on some certain situations when I'm certain women, I'm not going to be alone. And so he sat there and smiled. And then after it was over with, he smiled and we said goodbye to her and he shut the door and he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If she'd have said that to me, I said, that's precisely why I'm a pastor and you're not. Okay? I said, because you have to have a long fuse when you're a pastor. You can't get mad just because somebody, gets jacked up and upset with you. You can't get angry. The number one characteristic of a strong, good leader of an organization, any organization, is that they must love people. Okay? Do you enjoy the people around you? I'm just asking you a question. Do you enjoy your family? Do you enjoy the people that you work with? Do you enjoy the person that you're married to? Do you enjoy the people who have the same last name as you do? In over 40 years of ministry, leadership, and almost 60 years of personal living, I've discovered, hear me now, that we don't really enjoy the people in our lives. We tolerate them. let that sink in. This is not going to be a 15-minute message. I'll just go ahead and give you the warning. We don't really enjoy the people that we are connected to. We tolerate them. We put up with them. And we even endure the relationship that we have with them. What does it really take to enjoy the people in your life? Somebody say four keys. Four keys. Four keys to enjoying the people in your life. Number one, be grateful for the good in people. Be grateful for the good in people. Philippians 1, verse 3. Check it out. I thank my God, Paul says, every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul said, I like to remember the good things about people. Focus on the good times we had. Remember the positive experiences. What do you remember about people? The good experiences or the bad? What they did to you? Or how they didn't do what you thought they should have? When Paul said this, he had not had an easy time in Philippi. If anybody knows anything about the Bible, when Paul was at Philippi, Acts chapter 16 tells us the story. He had a rough journey. Tells us in Acts 16 that when he went to Philippi, he was illegally arrested. He was whooped, okay? That's southern for whipped. He was whooped. He was humiliated. He was thrown into jail. And while he was in prison, guess what? There was an earthquake. Come on, man. Let me just get back home. Where is home, okay? If you're on the ministry field, the mission field, where is home? Let me go back to Antioch, maybe he was saying. I don't know. But he was asked to leave town. He didn't have a good experience on his ministry journey to Philippi. Yes, he says, when I think of you, I remember the good stuff. I remember the good things. I remember, and I thank God every time I remember you. Paul could have dwelt on the negative. He could have remembered the painful memories. He could have said, you know what? I ain't going back to Philippi. Because when I went to Philippi, they threw me in jail. When I went to Philippi, they beat me. They whooped me. When I went to Philippi, I had an earthquake trying to just go through life and do God's will, and the earth starts shaking. He could have come up with all kinds of reasons why he didn't want to talk about good things, but he says, every time I think of you, church at Philippi, I thank God. Amen. Amen? Maybe you have in your past been hurt by a parent or a spouse, or you're still holding on to that hurt, and as a result, you can't enjoy them today. Don't be like my grandma. Come on, you're getting out of this store because your granddaddy's sister's in here, and she didn't even come to the funeral when he passed away. You know, what about my toy? Okay. I remember being in Murfreesboro one day, and I was riding with a friend, and I needed some gas, and the needle was on E, and the light would come on, and I get ready to turn into a station. He said, don't go in there. I said, man, I need gas. He said, well, I ain't dealing with that guy. He's a crook. I said, I don't care what he is to you. I'm buying some gas from him. Come on. Okay? Don't let that happen. Don't let it stop you. And when you start thinking about people, think about the good stuff. Pleasant memories are a choice. I can choose what I'm going to remember about the past. I don't need to focus on the bad or the negative. I need to be grateful for the good in people. Let's call it lesson number one. Lesson number one is remember the best and forget the rest. Come on. Remember the best and forget the rest. Okay? I could come up with all kinds of reasons why I would not buy from this person or shop here or there or go to some event. I could come up with some reason why I don't want to go. How about family reunions? Y'all do them anymore? You know, family reunions, everybody comes up and hugs you and you don't even know who they are. So who was that hugged me and had a bad breath, you know? Oh, that's your dad's cousin from whatever, you know? And people say, well, I don't go to family reunions because I just don't do well with my family. That's sad. Why don't you just go because you should, and why don't you just go and try to remember the good things and not the bad? Lesson number one, remember the best, forget the rest. I'm not saying that you deny the hurts that you've experienced. I'm not saying that you don't stay in touch with the fact that something wasn't really the best, or you encountered some weaknesses in some lives of some people. That's psychologically unhealthy. You need to deal with stuff. But focus on the good and choose to emphasize the strengths. I've heard wives say this. Well, yeah, my husband's a good man, but... Or I've heard women, men say this. I say, man, your wife, she seems to work hard. Oh, yeah, she's a good girl, but I'm going to tell you what. You know, you cross her wrong and she's a devil. No. Just take what was said. Your wife seems to be a hard-working good woman. Well, thank you, Pastor. Okay? If you got to say, but, she's a good woman, but, then you have negative stuff that you need to deal with. Well, my husband is a good man, but... I've heard people say this, he's a good man around everybody else, but you don't live with him. Come on. Come on. I've heard people say this too. You go to some funeral. I've been sitting in funerals before, and they say something good about somebody, and then, you know, the funeral is over, and someone says, well, I don't know the guy they buried today, okay? Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't know the guy they buried today because I didn't know him on that level. But I could tell you some smut on him. See? No. Remember the best and forget the rest. Amen? Philippians 1:5, you've helped me from the very first until now. When Paul talked about Philippi, you've helped me from the very first day until now. Secondly, practice positive praying. Philippians 1:4, Paul says this to the church at Philippi. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Paul writes to this church and says, I'm lifting you up in prayer. The people that I was serving when I got thrown in jail. I'm lifting you up in prayer. The people that I was serving when they whooped me. I'm praying for you people. The ones that I went to your jail, you know, not because I wanted to, and there was an earthquake that shook the whole world. He says, when I'm thinking of you, I just pray with joy. Isn't it an encouragement when you know people are praying for you when they are remembering you? I've got a host of intercessors in my life that pray for me all the time, me and my family. I could name them from this pulpit, but I'm afraid I'd miss somebody. Pastor, I pray for you every day. I call your name, you and Joy and Josh and Abby and Zach and Caleb. I mean, I have one that's just, I mentioned it 2 or 3 weeks ago, just called every name of every person in my family. We call your names every day. I thank God. I don't have people that I just every day call the names of their entire family. That's a gift. The gift of intercession. Practice positive praying. Let's call it lesson number two. The best way to change a relationship, hear me, from bad to good is to start thanking God in prayer for the people. The ones that get on your nerves, the ones that drive you crazy. This will do two things. It'll change your attitude and it will change them. Here's a classic story that's just true. I'm not proud of it, but it's just true. I got interviewed on the phone this week from a pastor from Greenville, South Carolina, who said, hey, I saw you on television, and he said, I remember the story, but I couldn't find it on Google. I said, well, if you pulled it up, you'll see I had much less weight on my body, and my hair was not light. It was dark. But I said, it's out there, and I gave him how he, I said, if you want to hear the story, I'll send it to you. But he said, well, let me just ask you a few questions. And he started talking to me about how I became known for multicultural ministry and diversity in the body of Christ. And so what happened, I had to tell him that line of the story just this week. We stayed on the phone for about an hour. And just, I remembered the story. I said, yes, I was speaking in tongues. Yes, I was ordained minister. Yes, I'm pastoring a church. But a little black child came to service with the family, a Native American family, okay? She was from the Lumbee Indian tribe down near Lumberton, North Carolina. And they were pastors. They were wounded. They were hurt. And they were just looking for a church to rest. She married a Caucasian man. She was Native American. She married a Caucasian man. And one of her children married an African American man. And because of that, they had a mixed race child who apparently she ended up with the predominance of African Americans. She was black, okay? And they came to our church. I was pastoring. And after church, everybody in the house, we didn't have cell phones, so they called the house. 585-0108, okay? Conway. And they called me. Everybody in the church called me. Pastor, what are you going to do about it? I said, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. And I, a tongue-talking Pentecostal pastor, took a leader, an elder, a deacon of the church, and went to their house in Roanoke Rapids, knocked on their door, and sat there in the most cowardly manner and told them every reason why they should not bring that little black girl back to our church. We don't want to hurt you. We don't want you to see you get your feelings hurt. I'm hurting them right then, but we don't want to see you get your feelings hurt. So what are you saying, Pastor? It would just be a good thing if you just found somewhere else to go to church. I did that. But the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. And little did I know that God would call me to a region, a city where it was 70% African American over Caucasian and Native Americans and Hispanics and the rest of them. Little did I know that I would be in a predominantly African American culture to spend the next 30 years as a pastor. But here's the part that I don't want you to miss. She said, you know, we had her here at the church. Some of you remember it. We had her here when the little girl was not five any longer. The little girl had grown up to be 18. And they preached that day of what it was like when I knocked on the door. How they felt. When I came, they said, we saw you walking down the sidewalk to our house and we knew why you were here. Because we could tell the Sunday we were in your church you didn't like us. We could tell we weren't welcome. But here's the good thing. She said, rather than be angry with you, man, don't miss this. She said, rather than be angry with you, she said, I dismissed myself. I let my husband deal with it. And we weren't blessed with a clothes dryer. So she said, I went outside and I started hanging the wet laundry on the line. And every time I squeezed a clothespin, I said, Father God, change that man. Pick up a clothespin. Father God, change that man. Father God, deal with that man. Father God, lay your finger on the prejudice of his heart. And I just began to weep to think that here's a lady who had every reason to be upset with me. What she did was she practiced positive praying. And she prayed that God would change me. And look what he's done. Okay? Look what he's done. He's given me a love for people. He's made me colorblind. Okay? He's given me a love for people. He doesn't cause me to look at whether they're haves or have-nots. He doesn't cause me to look and prejudge people. See, prejudice is deeper than the skin. Prejudice is prejudgment. Judging someone prematurely because you don't even know them. There's people that don't trust Hispanics, you know? And they call them all the same thing, Mexicans. That's a prejudice statement. Them Mexicans. Oh, it's getting quiet in the church this morning. They might not be Mexicans. They might be from El Salvador, you know. They might be from Costa Rica, okay. They might be, who knows where they're from, okay. But you call them all Mexicans. They just come into our country. Okay, that's a prejudice statement. And so what this lady done was every time she squeezed a clothespin, Father, change that man, change that man. She practiced positive praying about me. Amen? Amen. Lesson number two. The best way to change a relationship from bad to good is to start thanking God in prayer for people. Father, change that man. Thank you that you called him into the ministry. Thank you that he's a person of influence. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to shift his feelings about people. She practiced positive praying like Paul called for. Amen? That's a miracle that I face every day of my life. Just when I think people forget one of the unique anointings on my life, someone will call me out of the blue. And hey, Pastor Phillips, Wayman Burton here, Greenville, South Carolina, right there, Bob Jones University, you know, pastor of the church, Living Waters Fellowship. I've read your books, ordered 35 or 40 of them, and taught the principles that you teach in one of your books, all dressed up and no place to go, as a workshop in our church. I'm glad that you took my call today. Do you have a few minutes for me to talk to you about that season of your life? We sat on the phone an hour. And God used that situation. Why? Because I believe that the clothespin prayers of that lady changed my life. Okay? That Native American woman that with every squeeze of a clothespin took my soul to the throne of God's grace and said, Lord, change him. Okay? Please practice positive praying. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Check out Paul's prayer. I love this. Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this is my prayer. Check out Paul now. This is my prayer for the people that I was serving when I got thrown into jail for telling them about you, Lord. This is my prayer for the people that I was thrown into jail and an earthquake shook the whole city. This is my prayer for the Philippians, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Wow. That you may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. That you might be filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. Paul had every reason to wipe his feet and say, you know what? No more Philippi. But instead, he lifts up these people and prays this powerful prayer. I pray that they may abound in love. I pray that they would have tremendous depth and insight into the things of God. I pray that they may be able to discern what's best for them, that they may be a people who live in purity and blameless before Jesus. He's calling out this powerful prayer. That's a great prayer for anybody, that they might be filled with righteousness as a result of their walk and their journey with Jesus. Man, you ought to just highlight that prayer and just pray that over your family. Pray that over your children. Pray that over your friends. Pray that over that cantankerous dog that you work with, that you gets on your nerves. Lord, I pray for him that he might experience your love, that it might abound in his life. That boss that you don't like, that husband, that wife that you're frustrated with right now, that family member that did you wrong 20 years ago and you still think about it, that you start washing that, come on, church, if you start washing that over them instead of worrying about how you feel, come on. If you start washing these words over them, because these words are life, these words are power, these words are fire, they're anointed. Paul prays for these things in their lives. Thirdly, not only do you do the first two that we mentioned, but you need to be patient with their progress, the people that you're praying for. Be patient with their progress. Paul looked at people's future, not at their past. Paul looked at people's potential, not just their slow progress. Philippians 1:6, look at what he says here. Powerful verse. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in my husband, that he who began a good work in my wife, that he who began a good work in my son who's away and on drugs, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus. If we would stop complaining about them and talking about them and sharing, stay away from them. If we would start praying this prayer over them, Paul says, what God starts, God finishes. I asked a brother yesterday who told me about a person he led to Christ that went on to his eternal reward. I said, was he still serving the Lord? Because that's the first thing that hit my spirit. And as much as we know, he wasn't. But you know, I don't know, when we don't know, and we never know what was happening in the final moments of his death. And so we just said, Lord, as we said earlier in the service, his mercy endures forever, hopefully, because we're not the judge. Hopefully he had time, like the thief on the cross. Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? I know I didn't get it right, but I remember when that pastor planted that seed in my spirit, and yes, I raised my hand, and yes, I prayed the prayer. Would you help me, God, get back to that place before I breathe my last? We don't know. Somebody asked me 2 weeks ago, talk to me about suicide. When you commit suicide, you go to hell, don't you? I said, no, not necessarily. I don't like this, but I've preached 4 suicide funerals in the 40 years of ministry that I've enjoyed. And the first one I preached right here. Because one of our members had a son who had opened the Bible to Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And he circled that. And he laid it beside his bed and shot himself. And he wrote a 13-page letter and sent it to his mama. And when I got into the pulpit right here at Carpenter Shop, I said, I know what you all are thinking. But can I just tell you something? I don't believe that's true. Because you and I don't know what frame of mind this man was in, but God does. Okay? So is there hope? I read the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, and the only sin that is unforgivable is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I preached Brian Ferris' funeral several years ago. And I did the same thing. I said, you know what? The Brian that I knew would never kill himself. I called Brian that morning at 8:15. Coroner said he probably killed himself sometime between 8 and 8:30. I called him that morning. He didn't answer. While I was calling him, he was hanging himself. Okay? And I said to a packed house, I said, the Brian that I know loved life. The Brian that I know loved to laugh. He was the life of the party. Every time you gathered, he always had something to say. So something happened. Something snapped. And I don't believe God is going to hold Brian responsible if something happened that just totally shifted his mental faculties. His mercy endures forever. And I comforted the family that day. And I gave them a sense of hope that all the years of Brian's faith would not come to naught. Amen? We have to be careful. We have to be patient with people's progress. There's some people sitting here this morning. There's some people watching online. And you know people in your family, some of your own flesh and blood, that they're not making much progress. But what you need to be sure of is Philippians 1:6. Be confident, Paul says, underline that word, that he who began the work and you saw it begin, you just haven't seen it completed. Just be confident of this, that he will carry it on to completion. Man, I'm enjoying this if you're not. Man doesn't finish what he starts. But God does. God doesn't make a bird and give him half a wing. God doesn't make an unfinished flower with three petals missing. You know, the wind may take it away several days after it bloomed, but when God created it, it just came out perfect. God will complete what he started. He just puts the finishing touches on everything, and then he says something about it in the Bible. It was good. He made humanity and said, this is good. And then guess what? Humanity made a mistake. And because of that, you and I are born with the capabilities and the propensity toward sin. We're all sinners. Okay? But God finishes what he starts. And when he redeems you and you accept that redemption plan, he turns bad into good. And sometimes you don't always get to see the good before you lose people. Let's call it lesson number three. God is not finished with people. He's still working on them and in them. Amen? We need to be patient with people's progress, and to enjoy people, we must allow for the growth and development. Paul could say, I'm not the man I used to be, thank God. But also, thank God I'm developing into the man that God has planned for me to be. Some of you that are sitting here today, you got kids that get on your nerves. Why don't you just start calling their name before the Lord instead of continually fussing at them and bringing their sin and their disappointment up to them like they don't know it. Why don't you just start washing the word over their lives? Lord, I just thank you that my son is a man of God. I just thank you that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and has the fruit and the evidence of Jesus in his life. And he may be high when you pray for him. But Lord, I just thank you that he's destined to serve you because you begin the work in him and that you're going to complete it, Lord. I just thank you for that. Just begin doing that. Amen. John 1:12 says this, to them he gave the power to, I always love this word, I circled it in my Bible. To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I study, Pastor Mike, I studied theology for years, and I've studied sanctification, and we got whole groups in theological circles that have jacked up sanctification, and they've made it a definite work that happens, pow, just like that. And there are some things that God pows and takes away from your life. But a lot of it, in fact, I'd say most of it, He does it progressively. Paul said, I die daily. We have a progressive work taking place in our life. To him he gave the power to become. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're becoming a child of God. Now you're already a child of God because of the shed blood of Jesus and you receiving that plan. But you, most I've discovered, Pastor Anoli, I'm sure you've discovered this too. Most of the Greek words, you do better service if you just add three letters to the end of them. I-N-G. Okay? We can talk about the aorist, past tense, present tenses, and all this stuff of Greek, which I don't understand thoroughly. I dabbled in enough to make an idiot out of myself. Flashcards, all that stuff, but I don't know it, okay? Thank God for tools. Thank God for Strong's, bless his heart. Thank God for all those places that you can go online and get all the answers. It makes you look sharp when you didn't do the work. But I understand that God is working in my life. He's not finished the work. He's working, okay? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. And I just sang so much that you know how old I am. It's a process that you and I are called to be patient with. And then he says, let patience have her perfect work in you. Okay? Fourthly and finally, love people from the heart. Love people from the heart. If people are truly on your heart, my musicians, if you could join me, I appreciate that. If people are truly on your heart, they won't be on your nerves. Okay? Pastor Mike, I can't divulge the stories, but you and I recently talked about some, and I said to him, I said, man, I'm like Bonnie now. Why did you just hang on to this guy, okay? Why did you? Well, he said, Pastor, I just know what the Holy Ghost said. And so I give him a chance, a chance, a chance, a chance, a chance, and a chance, okay? Have you got folks like that just drive you crazy? And you want to just give them the left foot of fellowship out of your life? But you just give them a chance. Amen? And that's mercy. And we need to love people from the heart. The reason Pastor Mike did what he did is because he loves them with the heart, not with the head. Okay? I just wish. I said my family's watching. Probably many connected to it. Watch, they say, hey, I saw your message the other night. That was great. I said, that was a year ago. They dig out my sermons and stuff and listen to them. But I said, I just wish that there were some family members that are watching this one. I hope it is. Because here's the truth. You're called to love from the heart. Somebody just received that right then. And the love from the heart is the thing that's going to get you there. Love from the heart. Well, he won't come to church with me. Just love him from the heart. Just love him from the heart. Could I get my pastors and my prayer team members, would you just line across the front here? Come on, just line across the front. I know we got the social thing, but sometimes you just, and you can stay a distance. You don't have to, if you want to keep a mask on, that's fine. If you just lay your hand on some people. Just stretch out across this front. Paul says this is powerful. Paul says, God can testify. Check this out. God can testify how I long for all of you. And notice what he says here. I underlined it. How I long for all of you with what? The affections. Okay? I'm going to get plain right here, just giving you the warning, okay? But I'm just giving you the Bible. I'm studying the Bible out loud. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection. Somebody say affection. Do you know what the translation of that word is? Amen? Somebody in the Greek language here. Do you know what the translation of the word affection is? It's a translation of the word intestines. Somebody say bowels. Okay. Paul said, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of my bowels. Some of y'all are saying, huh? You have to understand the Greek culture, Joel. We're not Greeks. The Greeks believed that the very seat of all of our emotions were in our gut. Let me ask you something. Have you ever said this? I just have a gut feeling. Come on. Come on, guys. I just have a gut feeling. So for us, Mary, we study the Bible and we know the proverb says, out of the heart flow the issues of life. So we keep it up high, right? Okay. But Paul says, no, let's go down deeper. I can tell you that God can testify how I long for all of you with the intestines of what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's in my gut. I love you deep. Catch that, Lewis. I love you deep. All the way to my bowels. Okay? How many of you feel better after you go? Come on. Come on. Come on. Man, are you feeling better? Yes. Thank God. Come on. Come on. Help me here. Help me. I feel better. Sense of spray. Come on. Welcome to Carpenter Shop. Okay? It's a different church. Okay? All right? But don't miss it. This is Bible. It's not dirty. Paul says, I long for all of you with the affections. That word comes out of the Greek word intestines. Study that shows ourselves approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. Okay, you can't just read it. You got to study it. Got to break it down. Don't grab Webster's dictionary. It'll get you in trouble. Okay? Because Webster is not writing Greek definitions. Okay? I got a D on my first paper when I went into Bible college, and I cried about it. My professor said, Dr. Terrace Newman, don't ever submit anything like this to me again. And it had more red on it than it did black when he finished with it. That was in the days of paper. Okay. Paul, amazing man. He says, I've got gut feelings for you, man. Romans 5:5, God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us. God baptized you in the Holy Spirit, not, as I said Wednesday night, not just so you could speak another language. Just take Spanish at the community college if that's what you're after. You don't just get another language, but you get the power, the dunamis, the dynamics of the Holy Ghost that are able to walk you through ministry. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit available and evident in every one of these lives right here, that may, when you come forward in a minute, that may lay their hand on your shoulder and say, the Lord says, I prophesied over a couple of people here already today, by the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. Not my words. God says he's going to accelerate, okay? I don't know what that means. I just know he said it. God says, Diane, you're going to be at peace, okay? You're not going to worry about it anymore. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when you come forward in a moment, like some of you will, maybe one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit might speak a word over you. Okay? By means of the Holy Spirit, who's God's gift to us. God has gifted us. Thank God for people who are gifted in the Holy Ghost. My question for you before I invite you is, do you enjoy the people that are in your life? You're married to them. You're their child. They're your child. Do you enjoy these people? Or do you have issues with some of them that today, somebody say today, you're willing to lay down? You're willing to lay down, lay them down, say, man, it ain't worth it. I'm going to start speaking the word over them, that he might give you discernment, that what Paul prayed. Take this message home, man. Use it again and again. If you preach, preach it somewhere. You got my permission. Ask me for the email. I'll send it to you. But as you come to the altar today, you're answering the question, yes, Pastor. Yes, Lord. I have some people in my life that I struggle with. And guess what? I do too. I saw a guy on the way to church today that I thought, he's not one of my favorite people. And I thought, Lord, don't do this to me. I'm preaching about this today. And I just said, God bless him. He didn't even know I saw him. He didn't see me. But I thought, I don't like him. You ever say that about people? I don't like them. God don't want you to like them. He wants you to love them. Okay? He wants you to love them unconditionally, without conditions. If they straighten up, I'll love them. If you get your act right, you can come back home. Okay? So I'm just going to ask you right now, if you've received from this word today and you'd like to have someone just unite in prayer with you and pray that you will walk out of here today and that you will learn, oh Jesus, thank you, that you will start learning to really enjoy the people in your life. God's going to take us on a journey with this series that's going to make your life better. Okay? It's going to make your life better. It's going to make your life better because you're going to start looking at positive things. So come on, come on. Stand with me. And as they begin to sing, just step out of your seat. Choose a person. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. Go to a person. Come on, come on. Just come on out of your seats right now. Stand in front of someone. It won't take you but a moment. You can eat later. Just come and let somebody lay hands on you and pray for you. You don't have to tell them anything. You really don't. Well, I'm just struggling with my husband. No, you don't have to say a word. Just come. Well, I wish I could forgive her because she just rejected me. No, you don't have to say a word. Just come and stand and let them pray over you and speak a word over you. Go ahead, guys.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Just find a place, stand behind somebody. They'll be done in a second and they'll pray for you. Come on. Come on, I know the Holy Spirit has touched some of you.
Of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is under.
His presence will break these feelings.
Your presence.
Your presence, Lord.
Let's just close out in prayer today. Father, in the name of Jesus, teach us, Lord, help us, Lord, to love others. Lord, help us to continue to pray for those in our path, the ones that get on our nerves, the ones that we struggle with. Lord, help us speak positivity into their lives as well as through prayer, Lord, seeing who they are in you even before they're there. Father, we thank you for today's message. We thank you, Lord, that you are guiding us to be more positive, guiding us to love others in your way, not our own. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing and you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that we get to do life with you. We get to love others because of you. Lord, walk before us. Guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. Let me encourage you to have an awesome day as you enter into November. Amen. Somebody say Thanksgiving, Christmas. Come on. It's coming. And last Sunday, we had a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit, and God spoke far more than I expected into the lives of people, individuals who came forward and said, I believe there's divine calling on my life. So if that's one of you guys that responded to the altar, we've texted you, reminded you, don't forget, lunch is available for you today. Our elders are going to be with us. I extend invitation to our pastors also if you want to have lunch with us. We're just going to talk about that subject today and share with each other about calling and what that really means. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we simply mean calling means I'm going to Africa, not necessarily. Sometimes the greatest confusion is that people say, oh, he's called into ministry. It means they're automatically going to pastor a church. Remember, we reminded you last week, don't ever say that you won't. But ministry doesn't mean you're a pastor, okay? So it just means God has something unique. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And there's fivefold perspective of that that is sometimes evident in several areas in one person's life. So don't be afraid to just say, hey, this is what I'm feeling God is saying. And we're just going to talk practically about that today as we share a meal together with those who responded at the altar last Sunday. And again, pastors are invited. Elders are going to be there as well. God bless you guys. We love you with the love of Jesus. Come on. We love you with the love of Jesus. Let's go out of here today saying, I'm going to enjoy the people that God has placed in my life. God bless you all.